Well, tonight, the scripture we want to talk about is out of 1 Peter 3:15. Peter said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So tonight we're going to talk about, just say to you, be ready. That's what this scripture calls us to be ready. You know, sometimes you have to get ready, but better than getting ready is being ready. And this scripture calls us to be ready. You know, when someone starts asking you about your faith, about the hope that's in you, about your relationship with the Lord, or opens the door for a spiritual conversation, Peter says we need to be ready to talk about that. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I know a couple weeks ago we had the ice storm. Heard the ice storm was coming. Uh-huh. So
I had to get ready.
Yes. I got a bunch of 5-gallon buckets, filled it up with water in case we lost power and couldn't flush the toilets, and filled the tubs up with water so we'd have a good water supply. And, you know, make sure we had batteries for flashlights and some propane bottles for, you know, in other words, we had to get ready. And it seems like when you have one of those, it kind of spurns you to just to be ready, you know, like, right. Well, let's make sure next time we just got all this here and ready to roll. So it's certainly true in our walk with the Lord that we need to be ready. And so we want to share a few things with you out of the scripture that we just read out of 1 Peter 3:15. And the first thing we want you to notice is to give your heart, you need to give your heart fully to Jesus. Do you notice the first part of that scripture?
Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts.
Yes. And that word sanctify means to set apart. And the idea here is to make sure that your heart's full of Jesus, your heart's full of love and passion, and that you've kind of committed and devoted and set your life apart for Him. And that's the first step in being ready to share with others, is to make sure that you are seeing your life devoted to Jesus Christ. Well, how do you do that? How do you give your life fully to Jesus?
Give your heart fully to Jesus. I was thinking, and this is kind of probably not exactly where you were going, but I was thinking about that scripture that talks about guarding your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. And so it's important that our hearts, this scripture talks about sanctifying them, having them ready. So certainly we talk about giving our hearts to the Lord as a way of talking about being saved, committing our lives to God. And so to sanctify means to set apart. So set apart your hearts to the Lord.
It's kind of two sides of the same coin. Give yourself fully to Jesus, but guard your heart and don't let the other stuff in there that will crowd Him out or distract you or have your mind on worldly things instead of heavenly things or spiritual things. So, and of course, the first step is, if you don't know Jesus, you need to yield yourself complete to Him, confess Him to Lord. But here Peter's writing to believers. Mm-hmm. And so even though you're saved and giving your life to the Lord, there's that act of consecration, of knowing that you've been set apart. You're to live a life holy to the Lord. H-O-L-Y, but also W-H-O-L-Y. L-L-Y, yeah, holy.
Holy and entirely.
Yes, exactly. And what's another thing we want to see here?
Prepare to share why you are a believer. So the next part says, always be ready to give a defense to everyone that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. So we need to always be ready to give an answer. You know, what is different about our lives? You know, what is it that makes our lives devoted to God? You know, be able to explain that to somebody. It doesn't have to be in deep theological terms, but to explain, to be able to give that reason.
Yes, to be prepared. I know in our walk with the Lord through the years, we've gone through continued witness training. We've gone through, I know, the Evangelism Explosion, Master Life, all kinds of evangelistic training.
Share Jesus' name.
And some of it has to do with apologetics, because apologia, that defense, that is the word to be able to offer reasons why we believe what we believe. Sometimes we know what we believe, but we're not able to articulate why we believe. Well, why do you believe that? Well, that's what my dad told me, or that's what the preacher says, or well, that's what my Sunday school teacher said, or well, I read it in a book. But to be able to articulate, and a lot of that is to be able to explain the scripture, but also to bear testimony of your own personal experience with the Lord. And this is not necessarily means to be ready to give somebody a sermon. Most people don't like that on the street corner. But to be able to share from the heart why Jesus is so important to you, why you seem to have joy, why is it that you can be at peace when everything's so crazy out there? Or why is it seems like that you're able to be strong when there's so much uncertainty? We need to be able to articulate why that we have that way of life, you know, Christ in us, the hope of glory, but being able to share what he means to us, what he's done for us, and, you know, to be able to share with people, well, because of Jesus, the burden of sin, my sins have been forgiven, and I have peace with God, and this peace means that, and begin to explain that. So I remember a number of years ago, Andrew and I were at a U-Haul place. It's when we were transitioning from Memphis to Mississippi. And
that's a number of years
ago. Yeah, we were in a hurry. Yeah. But a lady came through and stopped and was asking for some help. And got to talking to her. And honestly, just kind of wanted to, you know, like maybe send her on her way. But in the moment, I realized, well, yes, here's some money. I want to help you, but do you know Jesus? And this took the time. In a moment, she started crying. She started sharing her situation about her son who was on drugs and had stolen her stuff and had sold it. And she started crying, and I led her in a prayer, and she gave her heart to Jesus. And it was just a really sweet time. She went on her way, and we went on our way, you know, got boxes and trailer and all that. And so you never know, you know, what might have happened. But later, it was actually a few years later, our pastor at that time was Dr. Adrian Rogers. Mm-hmm. Well, we had moved, by that time, moved back here to Alabama. I was with a group of men at a Promise Keepers event at Nashville. Dr. Adrian Rogers was one of the speakers. And he got up and he was started sharing about witnessing. And he shared a letter that a lady had sent to him. And I remember sitting in the audience, and he began to tell the story. Dr. Rogers, I was at the bottom, ready to give up, and told someone what she was going through. And she said, I was in a walk by a U-Haul place, and there was a young man who had a little boy with him. That was Andrew. And took the time to share with me about Jesus. And I gave my life to Jesus. And she said, he told me that he attended the church where you pastor. And I just wanted to let you know that my life has been changed, and that what you're doing, what your church is doing in the city is making a difference. I didn't know that several years had passed, but there were so many details in that letter that I knew that was the occasion, you know. It was just undeniable. And because of the U-Haul place, had his son with him, and the things she said I shared with her was exactly what I shared with her. And it was just really encouraging to know, because you may never know when you leave a track with someone, or you share something spiritual with someone, or you pray with someone, you try to encourage someone, you present Jesus to them. Only heaven will reveal where what happened to all those seeds that you've sown. But occasionally we get the Paul Harvey, you know, the rest of the story.
That's right.
But the scripture says we need to be ready to share with others a reason of the hope that we have, you know, and we need to become absolutely convinced that what we have is worth having and other people need it.
That's right.
You know, and sometimes we And I don't mean this in the wrong way, but we kind of forget what it's like to not know the Lord and to be lost and separated from God and under the burden of guilt and not having any peace. Mm-hmm. It's so important that we be ready to share Jesus with others. Third thing here, listen and look for signs of inquiry. Because he said, be ready to give a reason of the hope, to give a defense to everyone who asked you a reason for the hope that is within you. Everyone who asked. Folks, when somebody asks you a spiritual question, hello, that's the Holy Spirit. That's an open door. Duh. Sometimes we pray and pray, Lord, I pray for this person at work. And then one day they're sharing like, you know, I don't know if prayer works or not, but I need help. And step into that. They mention prayer. If they say something about church or say something about the Bible or say something about God, even if it's off track, use that as an on-ramp to begin to share the goodness of God with them. And it's amazing if we who are believers just out in the marketplace and in our daily lives will just be sensitive. There will be opportunities all around us for us to share God's love with other people.
It's true.
Look for those signs of inquiry. People are asking questions, or people look like they're struggling with something, or they're down and out, and there's a moment of quietness. Now, I'm not saying to embarrass them in a work setting, or the Holy Spirit will lead you to do it in a way that will honor the Lord and honor them and honor their where they work and so forth. Right.
So the next point is be hopeful. So not only be ready and be ready to tell about, you know, be ready to give your heart fully to Jesus and prepare to share why you're a believer and look for people who are asking, but be hopeful. The scripture says, to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. So as believers, we do have a hope inside us and we need to be hopeful.
Yeah, because why would they ask us about our hope if they were not noticing it? Mm. So that's a good question to ask ourselves tonight. Do we demonstrate hope in the way we live? Do we exude hope? What do you mean? Well, do you have a confidence that even though everything doesn't seem to be all right, you know everything's going to be all right? No matter what happens, God's still good. God can be trusted. You've got somewhere to turn. Even if the world ends, Jesus is going to come back and it's going to be all right. It's indomitable, the hope that we have in Jesus is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. A deep inner knowing. Our hope is in God. Mm-hmm. Our trust is in Him. So we need to demonstrate that and let it be manifested from the way we live our lives. Be hopeful. And the next thing would be meek. Because he says, everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. In other words, you give the reason of the hope that's within you. You give it in meekness. Not belligerently or like, well, let me tell you, this is what you need, or if you get your life straightened out, you know. No, with meekness. What is meekness? Meekness is really power under control. You know, there's a calmness about meekness, but don't associate meekness with weakness. There's a confidence about it. But meekness has to do more with the persona and the attitude, you know, that we are sharing this hope.
Yes.
We can share such good things with people in such wrong ways if we're not careful. Sometimes we go overboard with humor. Sometimes we don't have enough self-awareness of the context of what's going on, and we kind of maybe are like a bull in a china shop. But this says with meekness, so we need to be hopeful, we need to be meek, and then there's one other thing.
We need to be reverent, because it says that we share this hope with meekness and fear, yes. Or with reverence.
Yes. It's not the wrong kind of fear here, but the fear of the Lord. In other words, we share this hope meekly, but also reverently. In other words, we communicate in a way like people know that we really take this serious, like this really matters. We value this. We reverence God You know, it's just not, he's not the big guy upstairs. You know, he's the holy God, our heavenly Father, who is love, who is just, and yet all powerful, all knowing. So this is a neat little verse that has a lot of reminders to us.
It has a lot in there.
So we need to give our hearts fully to the Lord. We need to be prepared to share why we are believers, and we need to listen and look for signs of people who may be inquiring about spiritual things. We need to be hopeful, be meek, and be reverent. And that will help us in being ready. Amen.
Absolutely. So we always need to be ready, and that's a challenge for us as believers.
And with that in mind, there are a lot of good resources to study. And I like the Roman Road to Salvation, you know, as far as being able to lead someone to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with having a way to take your Bible and lead somebody through the scriptures to help them understand that their sin or sinner and their sin separates them from God, and Jesus died to reconcile us to God. He bore our sins on the cross, and that by putting our faith in Him, our sins can be forgiven and we receive the gift of eternal life. And, you know, I think all of us should sharpen up enough that, it's not the right term to use, but you know what I mean, to have an elevator speech ready to lead someone to the Lord. Like if you only got a couple of minutes, you could.
In other words, if you were you could get on the elevator with somebody in the time that you were on there, you could tell them, at least share
enough with them to stir their hearts and give them enough information to know what direction to step. You know, and it's, you know, it's not a bad idea to have a gospel tract. When I say gospel tract, that's a little booklet that you can give people that's got scripture in it. The word of God is powerful. So a lot of this giving reasons for the hope is knowing the word. And again, not being preachy or trying to impress people with scripture you've memorized. You don't even have to tell them that what you're sharing is a Bible verse. You can share the truth of that verse. You can share part of that verse with them. You know, and it's still powerful. But most people, I mean, that we would encounter, particularly in our area, is like, you know, the Bible says, that's, fortunately, that's not seen to be an abrasive thing. It's a wonderful thing.
It is. Well, we hope you enjoyed this out of 1 Peter chapter 3 tonight, and you can go back and study that verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, this verse 15.
Be ready.
Be challenged to be ready, and we want to have a time of communion now. So if you have communion elements, you'll be ready. We'll share those. Would you take the bread in your hand? Lord Jesus, as we hold this bread, we are so thankful that you set your face like a flint to go to the cross, that you were ready and willing to offer yourself for us so that we could be reconciled to our Father, so that our sins could be forgiven. We thank you for giving your body to be broken for us. Lord Jesus, how we thank you for taking the scourging and the beating and all the many painful things that were done to your body, taking all that, and on top of that and beyond that, taking our sins into your own body, your sinless, perfect body, and paying for them, Lord, the price that had to be paid for sin. We thank you. We honor you. We thank you that through the giving of your body, we can be saved, healed, delivered. All the good and perfect gifts that come from our Father. Well, we thank you for your body, which was broken for us. And as we take this bread, we remember your body, Lord Jesus. Take the bread.
And now the cup. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the covenant you established with the shedding of your blood. Thank you that we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin through your blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And we honor you, Lord Jesus, for pouring out your lifeblood on the cross. The handwriting of ordinances against us, you took it away.
Yes, Lord.
Our sins have been cleansed now, forgiven, all because of what you did. We love you for it. We honor you for it. And we worship you for it. And we show forth your death now as we drink from this cup. Do it in remembrance of him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just, if you were, you can, just raise your hands a moment. Lord Jesus, we just thank you.
We praise you, Father.
We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your body given. Thank you for your bloodshed.
Yes, yes.
Thank you for covenant.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for reconciling us to yourself.
Worship.
Thank you that we can know that we have been given the gift of eternal life.
Yes.
That we can know that we are children of God. That we can be led by your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Thank you that you daily load us with your benefits.
Yes.
We praise you, our King, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. We'll be back in the morning at 10:30, and we're continuing our study on how can I know God's will, and we're studying different subject matter relating to the will of God. And this week we're talking about hindrances and obstacles to doing the will of God, things that get in the way of us living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And I hope you find that helpful. And remember this scripture we've gone over tonight. It's one that this should challenge and encourage us to be faithful witnesses. Anything else?
Thanks for being here. We'll see you back in the morning at 10:30.
We love you all.